Are you ready? Take a deep breath and say, Father, you've got a plan to shake my tree. I need it. Because the fruits will stay stuck. Even if they're ripe. I need ears to hear. Eyes to see. And a mind to perceive. What your spirit is speaking to me. I'm going to be using the Amplified tonight. And I want to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 22, so that's pretty easy, right? Ephesians 2, 22. In him and in fellowship with one another, you yourselves are also being built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed abode, a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, or in and through the Spirit. Church is not a political word. Ecclesia is really a governmental type of authority or group. It's not a building. And God was pressing me in to remind me that it's not because you're in here that you are going to be a fixed abode. But it's you together that become more than what the building is, because you can have a church, and if it's empty, the Holy Spirit is not going to sit in an empty building. But you corporately together, St. Paul is saying, in fellowship with one another. You yourselves are also being built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed abode. What is he saying about the rest? That's the cloud of witnesses. Many years ago, Gino used to teach quite a bit on what about the heavenly church joining the earthly church? It's not two separate churches. You say, well, all our friends are gone on the other side. No, they're not. They're with you. And when you join together in the name of Jesus, they gather with you. Tonight, my sister brought a picture of Diana Drew, and I put it under the table, and it felt right to put it there. Because, you know, she is an instrument that God used to shake my tree many, many times. I remember 1985, the Holy Spirit sent me on a scouting trip. You say, were you a Boy Scout? Yeah, I was, but this was a different kind of scouting trip. And I drove, and I went to a place that the Lord showed me. I had no idea what God was trying to do. I had zero idea. All I did is I took some pictures. I came home with the pictures, and I wanted to share the information with Pastor, and the Lord said, no, it's not for him. It's for later. There's probably five people that know about that, and that's where it stayed, because that's what he said, keep my mouth shut. So that duct tape has been on for a long time. And so I had a bunch of questions, because when you do that, you know, you're kind of nosy. And so a few days later, Diana Drew comes over and she sits. We're going to have a counseling session together. And so I remember she sat across the desk from me, and I was in the downstairs office at the time. And I remember anointing her with oil, and down she went into the power of God, landed her head in the corner of the door, and her whole body's all stretched out. And I'm thinking, oh my God, she split her head open. Because your brain goes to work. So there she is, laid out. And I've got my recorder going, because I did that with every session. And off she went into this incredible trance, just like it says about St. Paul. You know, God took him into a trance. Don't know whether in the second heaven or third heaven. And she answered every one of my nosy questions under the anointing of God. What was she doing? She was in fellowship with me. She was helping me to build up a structure of shutting up, keeping quiet, until the day fixed by God where this whole thing will eventually be exposed. Why? Because he's got a plan. He's got a plan, and he knows what he's doing, and it's not important what you think about it. It's not important what I think about it. What is important is I need to keep the duct tape on until he tells me to take it off. And I've been holding it. Chapter 3, verse 1, for this reason, I preach that you are thus builded together. Builded together. I, Paul, am the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the sake and on behalf of you Gentiles. So God put Paul in prison for the sake of the non-Jews. Why? Because he wrote letters to them. And we can go back and say it is written. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, his unmerited favor that was entrusted to me to dispense to you for your benefit, and how the mystery, the secret, was made known to me and was allowed to comprehend it by direct revelation, as I already briefly wrote to you. When you read this, you can understand my insight into the mysteries of the anointing. You say, that's not what's in my Bible. The word anointing can be transferred or changed into the anointing. It's not Jesus' last name, as I shared with you. This mystery was never disclosed to human beings in the past generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and consecrated messengers and prophets by the Holy Spirit. It is this, that the Gentiles are now to be fellow heirs with the Jews, members of the same body and joint partakers, sharing in the same divine promise in Christ, sharing in the same divine promise in the anointing, through the glad tidings. Isn't that a good combination instead of the word gospel? The glad tidings, the gospel of this, I was made a minister according to the gifts of God's free grace, undeserved favor. Are you catching on to why those three words came in and how they were pounded home? Undeserved favor, which was bestowed on me by the exercise, the workings in all its effectiveness of his power. Look at your neighbor, say, this is good news. This is divine favor. It's undeserved, but we've got it. Hallelujah. Verse 8. To me, though I am the very least of all saints, this grace, favor, privilege was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ, riches of the anointing, wealth, which no human being could have searched out. Also to enlighten all men and make plain to them what is the plan regarding the Gentiles and providing for the salvation of all men of the mystery kept hidden through the ages and concealed until now in the mind of God, who created all things by the anointed Jesus. The purpose is that through the church, catch a clue. Look at the neighbor, say, "You are that church." The complicated and many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinity, variety, and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly spheres. So who's going to rule over them?
We are.
Yeah! But you're not going to do it when you're angry at all your neighbors. And you're not going to be able to do it until you're angry at just the darkness. If you're angry at people, you're going to get stuck and you're going to get cornered. And you're going to get deceived. And if you're angry at yourself, shame on you. Yeah. You have been redeemed. You've been set free. What are you doing angry at yourself? Anger at you is going to cancel the anointing. Okay, I can see that that's a stream. Look at your neighbor, say, "I'm making an agreement tonight,
that I'm off the hook.
Jesus paid the price, and I'm not going to be angry at me anymore. It's true, my old nature flares up, but that's slowly dying, because Jesus is coming alive in me. His anointing is coming alive in me. And I am an anointed one. And I'm joined to you in this church. Call the people of God. And that's the good news. Yeah. Uh-huh. Last verse I'm going to give you is verse 19. Because I can tell you just about capped out. Verse 19, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourself, the love of Christ, the love of the Anointed One, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. Filled with the fullness of what? God. That is, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. I rest my case. I want you to start remembering that some of the religious terms that we use almost become void of their value because of their overuse or their religious use, instead of a personal relationship with Jesus. I was brought up that if you went to church and you did all these goodies, you would get blessed. And I learned today, over and over, it's not the case. He's not waiting for my behavior change. He's waiting for me to ask Him to change me. He's waiting for me to ask Him to change me. And He will. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit. That was His whole purpose. Now close your eyes. Father, I ask that you would release a blessing upon them. that they would enter an awareness of the God news, the good news, and they would be aware of the anointing that is on each and every one of them, that they would be able to conceive within themselves the value of Christ in them, the hope of glory, the anointing in them, the hope of glory. Say it with me. The anointing in me is the hope of glory. Because he's going to use me to set the captives free. And all of God's people said,
amen.
And amen. You got the message. We went overboard, but that's okay. I will need a copy, young lady.